Hello, today's February 5th, and we're doing business and social. And I don't have any other interesting segues, so I'll throw it to Ryan.
Well, let's talk about Apple and Broadcom. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, again? They're fighting again? Well, no, they're not. In fact, they are on the same team this time, but it's the losing team.
Caltech wins a $1.1 billion jury verdict in a patent case against Apple and Broadcom.
Ouch.
So apparently Broadcom is using some patented Caltech technology maybe, and Apple is a quote-unquote downstream customer of Broadcom. And so Apple's saying, hey, you know, if Broadcom's guilty, that's fine, but leave us out of it. We just buy Broadcom products. And I would love to see the transcripts and the evidence from this trial, because I'm sort of remembering the whole Intel 5G modem thing, where Apple was literally telling Intel, yo, Qualcomm has this amazing modem. We're going to give you all this material that's under a non-disclosure agreement with Qualcomm. You need to take that and make your 5G modem better.
I guess they had a pretty good case showing that the roots of all that stuff was in fact invented at the university, and they should have been paid a license. And considering, you know, you live by the license, you die by the license, I guess.
Is $1 billion even a thing for a $1 trillion company anymore? Does that even show up on the radar anymore?
It's gonna when they figure out that they haven't been making iPhones for 4 weeks. It's gonna be bad news for Apple. But we'll talk about that later. Google, speaking of the virus, it's been disrupting things. And like you say, when you're a $1 trillion company, this is not a decision that you can make lightly. This, as soon as you sent this email, the money, like there's a little counter in your head. It's like, oh, there's a million, there's 2 million, there's 3 million, because this is not going to go well.
Google is temporarily shutting down all China offices due to the coronavirus outbreak. So that's China, Hong Kong, and Taiwan.
How much have they found any cases in Taiwan? How much would that suck if like everyone's feeling fine in Taiwan and you can't go work?
I think there's at least one or two in Taiwan. Yeah. Now this is till February.
We just had 9th? One in Massachusetts.
That's true. I did see the one that popped up in Massachusetts.
But this is, I think, all next week they're out. Or maybe it's 14th.
Yeah, extra long Chinese New Year.
And I'm assuming they're not getting paid for this time off.
Probably not.
I'm not sure.
It's awesome.
How that's going to work, but
hope everybody got a red envelope this year.
I think some of the Google people, they're going to have just work from home, like if you're management or whatever. But what are you managing?
Yeah. The other people that are working from home, they're not working from home. They're watching YouTube videos all day.
So now Google is not alone there. All the big tech companies at this point have pretty much shut down the China. But Google is the latest and one of the biggest for sure. And Google has, they got a great track record. They do have pretty good products, aside for the whole, you know, privacy invasion thing. But one thing they've never been able to get right is that social media platform.
And analytics.
Or chat or communications. They really want those things, but they just can't do it for whatever reason. But being Google, do you give up? I don't think so.
Google is about to take on Slack and Teams with a new unified communication app. It disturbs me that Google has screwed up so badly with communications app, because we've had like a new messaging application every year or two for like the last 10 years. And, you know, let's face it, Slack is IRC on steroids, or Slack is on, is IRC with memes. And that's really all it is. Like, how did Google screw that up? How does Google not have a better product than Slack or Teams? I mean, really, Google, how do you?
Teams has those great illustrations for Bummer Bert that you can post in your messages, and that, for me, makes it A+ program, 10 out of 10.
You should try Google Play Music when you ask yourself, how could Google mess this up?
That's how I feel about analytics, because the UI is so bad.
The worst part about Google Play Music, the thing that doesn't work at all, is the search.
Google obviously doesn't use their own products.
It's pretty incredible how bad the search is on that. And it truncates. It won't return more than, I think, like 200 results.
You got to do Spotify. Spotify's way better.
Yeah, but I have my playlists on there, and
you have to migrate them to Spotify.
I've got the Apple problem.
And Spotify is going to like recommend you all kinds of cool new music.
Will Spotify migrate my playlist from
No, I don't think so. Maybe it would. I've never tried, but.
Well, perhaps, Wendell, you know, you say they get it wrong, but this could be the killer function that nobody else has when it comes to work meetings, at least, for example, right? Because let's say that, I don't know, maybe you thought it was a bad idea to fly to China. I don't know why you would think that, but you still need to have that meeting, right? So what's the best platform? Well,
Google Translate and Transcribe, or Google is going to translate and transcribe conversations in real time. Search Giant has previewed a mobile phone app that is going to at an artificial intelligence event in San Francisco. So it's going to do real-time translation and transcription of a conversation.
We got there.
Now, here's the drawback. Here's the part of this that makes you think, oh, but since this is Google, we really have to question that part. And that is, it doesn't happen on the phone. It happens in the cloud.
Mm.
Could that maybe go into an advertising profile?
That would never happen. They don't do that. They just hide that toggles deep down in the settings to turn that off.
Well, at least Mark Zuckerberg's not in charge of it, because if he were, the translation would go something like, where is the restroom? Also, White Claw is the most delicious carbonated alcohol drink ever.
Do you have to pee because you've been drinking too much White Claw? Because everybody drinks it, because it's great.
It's like it's the Bill Murray movie where they translate it. Like, he asks a simple question and then they just keep talking, and he's like, that seems like an awful lot for the translation of what I said.
So we talked about Apple and you know, shutting down in Wu-Tang and China because...
I love that you keep calling it Wu-Tang.
I'll never stop. And that probably is going to affect them in the next quarter, but not in the past quarter because they killed it.
Apple rises as earnings and iPhone sales smash expectations. Apple reported revenue and profits significantly higher than Wall Street analysts expected. In other news, next quarter, Intel, when their profits are way, way down, they're going to say, oh, it was the Wuhan Tang claim.
I think everybody's going to be blaming that. I think that's going to be constantly blamed for everybody's shortcomings. But actually, another company that could be severely affected by that, because they have just recently been rising on that Chinese expansion.
And that factory, the new factory?
Yeah. Which is probably empty right now.
Now, Musk doesn't allow that.
Mr. Musk. And much like Apple... And I'm sure just he was on, not cloud 9, probably like cloud 90 that day. Because all those short sellers and all the naysayers, he has proved them wrong yet again with this massive earnings call.
Tesla releases its Q4 earnings, the beats on revenue and earnings by quite a bit, quite a margin.
I think.
$600 a share.
Did they have like a profitable year?
Yeah.
Based on that?
First time ever?
But yeah, massive. 214 per share.
Yep.
Of course, that's quite a big price to earnings ratio when you're earning 214 per share and your stock price is, what, $700?
Not even.
But also good news for Musk. I think he's having a baby, or his girlfriend's having a baby. We discovered that right before we started filming.
Is he excited about that news, you think?
I don't, you know, the CNN article, which, why is CNN running that story? But the CNN article didn't say. It just focused on the mom's joy. Didn't mention Musk.
Here's the question. Here's the engagement challenge. Based on what we know about Musk and the wife, or the girlfriend, will that child be very carefully protected from the social eye and just raised in classic rich billionaire style? Or will he parade it out at every opportunity?
Well, he's got six other kids, though.
And we've never heard about them, have we?
Yeah. From his, I think, first marriage.
So what do you think?
This one, though, the mom is like a pop star.
Wannabe.
Yeah. So probably gonna... push the child into the limelight eventually. That child will have no problems.
No, you don't know that. Because there could be massive problems from being that child. Mental problems.
I mean, well,
like, in terms of, like, you know,
food security, clothing, but educational opportunity.
You know who doesn't care about what your station is in life in terms of, you know, richness and notoriety? Heroin. Well, speaking of Teslas, they are packed with features. They don't use the LiDAR, but they do use a lot of cameras and sensors and things like that, and they have all the widgets and everything like that. Really cool, right? But you might not have thought about the downside of that.
New safety gizmos are making car insurance more expensive. The high cost of repairing sensor-packed vehicles outpaces the savings from fewer crashes. Oh, who could have predicted that? The more complicated machine is harder to replace.
So the most common kind of accident is a fender bender, right? You just, you know, you didn't know that curb was that close. Or you were looking at your phone, you were tweeting, and you smashed into somebody's rear end. Well, that fender, what if it's packed with sensors and LiDARs and cameras?
That's going to be a write-off. You've totaled your car.
So it's increasing everybody's insurance premiums.
It's a bummer because, you know, for me, like, last Christmas, me and some lady, like, bumped bumpers backing out of parking spots. And we both looked at each other and were like, are you okay? Great, let's just go. Because that's what the bumper's for. The bumper's for getting knocked into.
Now, see, I got ahead of this by buying a car that is just ridiculously unsafe. It's got none of those features. So I don't have to worry about this.
You can, you know.
That's 40 chess.
I mean, you can drive under a semi with that thing. It's pretty crazy.
I've seen pictures of that. It doesn't fare well.
Movies make it look really cool, though.
Oh, no, okay. I put that in. I put that story in line with the Teslas because the Teslas are those cars.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We're still on the Tesla block. And this is not Tesla, but...
It's related.
Of course, Mr. Musk, aside from launching his seed into his girlfriend, he continues to launch his seed into space.
SpaceX has launched 60 new Starlink satellites and sticks the rocket landing at sea. So they are just launching these Starlink satellites as fast as they possibly can. They've got over 200 in orbit at this point. They need 400 for a minimally operational Starlink internet service. So we could see it open to the public before the end of the year.
Isn't it like 3,000, though, or 6,000 by the end?
They want thousands by the end, yeah. And that'll be for high speed. But a minimal network would work with only a few hundred satellites.
So that's cool to see. Cool to see SpaceX still chugging along, doing their thing.
Meanwhile, the amateur astronomers and real astronomers are like, no!
And the space garbage issue. Still an issue, but you know what? That's a problem for future humanity. Oh, we might not even survive the epidemic. So let's just enjoy our wireless internet while we can. And speaking of electric cars that don't belong to Tesla, we have perhaps the better suited industry for electric cars, not consumers, but the big companies and the truckers. And one of the biggest is launching new ones.
UPS will use Arrival's electric trucks in the U.S. and Europe. So they look pretty close to standard UPS brown trucks here in the U.S.
Yeah. The corners aren't as sharp.
It's a darker brown they've chosen for this. Is that just straight black?
They went for like regular poop brown for the regular trucks.
Yeah.
This is the blood in your stool.
Black tar.
Yeah.
Tarry stools.
It's blood from the upper part of your digestive tract, so it's already...
It's had time to... Yeah.
Yeah.
So they point out, the cool thing about these is they have what they call the skateboard, which is this undercarriage and, you know, all the axles and everything. And you can kind of just pop whatever top you want on top of that thing.
I want the clown from Twisted Metal.
UPS needed a slightly different form factor than they were offering. And they were like, yeah, that's fine. We'll just do that. That's fine.
How long before the entire rear half of the truck is packed by a robot and then just deposited onto a set of wheels?
That would be super. If you had just a little container
that
just sat on there.
The robot just packs it all up and then it's just...
But then that would separate an accident.
Yeah. Which is even better.
Is it though?
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're about to be in an accident. Let me eject the packages to safety.
Except for there are other cars behind
you. Good luck, human drivers. We must protect
the cargo. Good
luck,
everybody.
The car just flies away.
Be free. 20 car pile up on I-75 today.
Well, speaking of people who have a lot of trucks on the road, of course, Mr. Jeff Bezos, who has abandoned UPS and the other carriers to start his own fleet. And perhaps the biggest criticism of Mr. Bezos, that the certainly the Democrats and their campaigning have said it over and over. It's one of Bernie Sanders' favorite things to say. Amazon paid $0 in taxes. And Mr. Bezos says, I will release the record, sir.
Amazon reveals new details about how its federal tax bill is in a shot across the bow at critics. So it was like $1 billion, like they paid $1 billion in taxes. But it also details how they had taken advantage of certain tax programs for if you create a certain number of jobs or you meet certain benchmarks or other things, then there are tax incentives for doing that. I think that's actually a pretty good move, considering that a lot of the tax strategy that we see here in the U.S. from other companies is to do the like Bermuda thing or the double Dutch sandwich or, you know, whatever. And so he's saying, no, we're at least some of our tax deductions are because we're taking advantage of tax incentive programs that involve adding high-paying jobs and blah, blah, blah.
They're pulling the same crap with the government of New Zealand right now.
I think Amazon is in a better position to do this than most U.S. companies. But that said, that doesn't also mean there's not shenanigans being played. It's just that in addition to the shenanigans being played from the tax loopholes, they're also taking advantage of legit tax programs.
They're also deferring everything, which they're also allowed to do. So, yeah, they haven't paid $1 billion, but they will eventually pay $1 billion, presumably. So.
We'll all be dead by coronavirus when that happens.
What if President Bernie gets to enjoy those tax windfalls during his term? Won't he be eating some crow then? Probably not. The Motorola Razr was the hot phone when I was in college. Everybody wanted it because it was so sleek and attractive. And
did you have a silver one or pink one?
I had one, but it was a little later because like I couldn't afford it when it was hot. But then when it was like everybody had one, and they were just giving them away, I was like, oh, I can get one now. That was okay. It wasn't a bad phone. And, of course, what do companies do now? They just pound that nostalgia into the dust. But this Razr is a little different.
Motorola says of the Razr's folding LCD screen, hey, bumps and lumps are normal. You guys might remember from the Galaxy Fold that bumps and lumps showed up right before the screen started to fail. Well, Motorola says, hey, our mechanism is fine.
Caring for Razr.
But because this is, you know, oh yeah, don't get it wet. That was one of the things. The article actually was like, it's like gremlins.
Don't feed it after midnight.
So, I mean, it makes sense that the LCD screen bends a lot. It's not going to be pristine. It's not going to be completely perfect. And they're just letting you know that the screen's not going to be perfect because it bends in such extreme ways.
Go back to the last article real quick and scroll down. On the sidebar, what is that person touching? What is that?
That's a tiny little Google thing.
It looks like
it's a Nest Mini.
Oh, it looks like a silly putty. I almost said slutty. I tried to combine those two words.
Slutty putty?
Yeah, a slutty putty. Anyway, sorry, distracted. Continue.
So, yeah, well, that's pretty much all it is. They got that. Because the screen is the touch screen, if it were all like lumpy and under there, that would be weird. I wouldn't like that. They also said that the hinge is going to develop a crease.
Yeah.
And just count on that.
It's like a patina in leather. It's just expected. Yeah.
Well, you remember the old touch screens? They were kind of squishy. The ones that before glass.
And they had that weird, it would radiate the colors.
Yeah.
When you messed with it. Yeah.
Like a gasoline stain.
It's fine.
It's funny how we've come back to that. We've given up the beauty of having the glass just so we can fold our stupid phones.
You think it's the old Apple mantra where they roll out a really crappy technology and they make everybody deal with it until they've forgotten about how good things were before, and then they roll out the same thing again and they're like, look at our new innovation, glass screens in the new iPhone 15.
Also, the same charger across all devices.
You can't say it doesn't work because it does.
It does. Butterfly keyboard. It's like, this mobile keyboard is incredible. And it's like, you only think it's incredible because you've endured the horrible torture that is the butterfly keyboard for the last three generations.
Now I'm thinking back of when we had 8 years of the neocons, and then we had 8 years of Obama. And then we had Trump. Blizzard. They've released a new game, but it points out something a little dark. Now, if you don't know, Valve's very popular Dota 2 was a mod. It was a mod for Warcraft?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Warcraft 3, I think, yeah. And here's the thing. Blizzard didn't own that. They couldn't do anything about it. And oh, man, do you how pissed are they? Well, so pissed that they've done something about it.
Blizzard now claims that full copyright is Blizzard's for player-made custom game mods. So they just recently remastered or released Warcraft 3 Remastered. They're updating their terms of service. It's like, hey, if you're making mods for our games, we own that.
Blizzard kills modding scene for games.
Yeah. So if you have dreams of those little... Because there was like one little studio who made that mod, and then Valve came along and like, oh, we'll be buying you now, yes. So if you have dreams of that, don't do it with Warcraft 3. If you, well, the Super Bowl's coming up. How hype are you guys for that?
Wait, isn't it today?
It might be today.
Yeah, it's today. It's recording day. So like by the time that we get done with this, by the time you guys watch it, the score will be done.
Now, I don't live in the slums anymore. But I used to. And on the Super Bowl week, the trash cans, there would be a TV box at every other house. People would go out and buy TVs.
Really?
Yes.
Who's even playing this year? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Who cares?
But if you're one of those people and you ran out and you were like, Roku TV, that sounds like a good bargain. I like Roku. I'll just get that. Well, the joke's on you.
Roku stopped offering Fox channels to users on February 1st. Super Bowl on February 2nd. It's probably no coincidence that contract with Fox is on February 1st. So Roku and Fox were in a bit of a game of chicken. And Roku blinked, I guess. And Roku doesn't have Fox channels. But Roku tells you where you can get Fox channels, which includes Hulu and some of their competitors.
Now, this doesn't affect if you have like a local cable provider. Doesn't affect that. Your Roku TV can still watch it on that, but Roku service, not anymore.
Roku also said, hey, you can probably get the big game over the air.
Ooh, Wendell.
Now,
next story, deep temptation.
Speaking of Roku and the new streaming wars, everybody wants a streaming service. And it's to the point where you kind of have to either make a choice or now you're spending just as much as you did with cable or more, probably. Probably more, right?
Probably more, yeah.
Probably like 20, 30 bucks more if you get everything.
Although with the cable the cable price hikes, perhaps less.
Maybe, but it's close, I'd say.
Yeah.
And one of those services that may not be knocking it out of the park is CBS All Access because they've made a bit of a concession.
CBS makes Star Trek Picard pilot for free on YouTube for a limited time. CBS has not said when the free viewing period will end, but it's the full episode, so this was sponsored by Geico. Geico. Thanks, Geico.
But we're not sponsored by them. Don't say their name.
How many ads do you think are in that?
A lot.
Good thing the Enterprise is insured by Geico.
You said that you might break down and watch it on Friday, did you?
I did, yeah.
Did you like it?
I did.
I haven't watched the second one yet, so don't spoil anything.
Okay.
Did you like it?
It's okay.
That's what you expected.
That's kind of what I felt about it.
It's a lot better than
J.J. Abrams movies.
It's yes, and it's a lot better than Voyager, or not Voyager, Discovery.
One of my feelings that I had while watching that is I felt like from scene to scene, there was this constant war in the writers and producers where it was like one side was, let's try to recapture Next Generation and let's just go hard nostalgia. And then the other team was like, no, it has to be woke.
Yeah. I got that impression too.
Yeah.
And that's very off-putting.
It is. It's just so jarring.
It's totally inconsistent when you see that in a television show for an existing IP.
I think I know where they're going with the story. And I think I know how they plan to tie it in with Discovery. And if I'm right, it's going to be super terrible.
I'm just dreading it because I'm afraid that the Amazon series about Lord of the Rings is going
to
be that way.
Wow, Krista, make it about you, why don't you?
Listen. I haven't seen the things I love be destroyed yet, though I guess the Hobbit movies were pretty bad.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time. If you live long enough, you'll see it. Just prepare yourself.
And the saddest thing is that there's some of the writers think they're really clever with what they're doing, if they're doing what I think they're doing, and they're not clever at all. They're just sad.
But you also have to wonder how much of that is the focus group. Like, I don't understand this. What? Space people, why are they doing this?
We need aspirational space opera. That's what we need. Make it happen. Don't think about it.
But,
aspirational space opera.
Game of Thrones was gritty and real, and that's what we need in Star Trek.
Aspirational space opera.
Star Trek, the whole like Roddenberry universe doesn't mesh with gritty and real.
Yeah.
And therein lies the fundamental problem.
We'll see. Let's keep hope alive. Let's hope that A, Picard will make a turn for the better and be good, and B, we'll be alive to see it and not dead from the Wu-Tang virus.
That might be the level one project, is like get some of the old school Next Generation toys and like just do like a scene remake. It's like, this is how it's going to be.
Are you going to do the Picard accent?
Yeah.
No. You need to write a script. Like, do your own spec script. Not that I have started this for Lord of the Rings. I would never do something so nerdy.
Oh, well, we got no transition to this story after that. But let's just say that, so from time to time, we'll go out to lunch, and it's amazing how many people in line have a box under their arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're door dashing or whatevering. I don't know what the name of all the things are. And it's incredible how ubiquitous that is in our world. And I'm kind of bitter about it because I can't get it where I live because I'm too far out. But sometimes those services do something really, really sneaky. And it seems like they all do it. And I can't imagine that they don't know that they're doing this. How would you not know?
We don't even do takeout. Why then is this restaurant on Seamless, which is one of those delivery things? So these delivery apps featured a Michelin star restaurant. And so somebody called the restaurant and was like, hey, my order is taking 45 minutes to get here. What's up? And the restaurant owner was like, we don't do delivery. Why are you calling us? This is a thing. So not only was it not the restaurant, you know, order online service was not... it's not one of the delivery driver services. They weren't even making the food at the restaurant, because how would you know?
Well, I was imagining like a Grubhub driver going in a tux, sitting down, ordering the food, and then like, walking out.
No. They've realized like we don't even need like. And so they were saying like the menus don't match, and it's just crazy.
Wow!
Can you imagine going into a Michelin starred restaurant, touching nothing, and being like, gotta get a box. Just wrap this up.
No, you just put it in your tux pocket.
So
just pack that in there.
They talked to some other restaurant owners who didn't participate, and it seems like this is just everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's weird because I think with Seamless, like they, you know, you talk about how if you do one of these services, usually you have a kiosk in your kitchen and they come in digitally. But sometimes with Seamless, to try to force a restaurant to get on board with that, they have people who will just call it in.
Yeah.
But that wasn't happening here either. This just went into a black hole.
That's so weird.
The
sucks for the restaurant owner.
The Indian place, they also have another one in the neighboring town. And they were telling me about how the other restaurant, the other similar ethnic restaurant, was delivering for them on the thing, and he found out, and he was like super mad because he was a little late to get all that set up.
Oh.
And so people were trying to order from his restaurant, and it was actually just the other restaurant filling the same kind of order because their menus are similar.
Well, that's kind of what happened here, because it turns out the restaurant that was supposed to be in that spot was just some like what do they call it when there's no dining room?
Ghost kitchen.
Yeah, it was a ghost kitchen, and it was just shitty noodles, like, you know, your standard kind of, was it Korean takeout or something? Thai. And this place was like a real upscale Thai restaurant. Yeah. So, and speaking of business models that are doomed to failure, we've talked a lot about this one, and the time has finally come.
MoviePass parent company files for bankruptcy. So we reported on MoviePass. They were shutting down. It's like, oh, they're not coming back. They're not coming back. They owe their $300 million in debt. And they have, somehow, they have between $10 and $60 million of assets. I don't know how they have that much in assets.
Well, that's like the furniture, maybe.
$60 million of furniture is a lot of furniture.
Oh, but they have an app, right? So it's, maybe it's like developers' computers, and I don't know.
I mean, that's a lot. $60 million.
But those have been aging for the last year when they were doing nothing.
Yeah.
So
I think they really have $50 of assets.
This is, so you have Chapter 11 bankruptcy, where it's like, we're in trouble, but let's renegotiate because we're still going to make it. This is Chapter 7, where it's just like, We're done.
We're done.
Just take whatever, find it, whatever value you can. We're leaving the country. So it's over.
The
dream is over.
It's the kind of crater that it registers on the neighboring country's earthquake monitors.
It's called the tsunami in Japan. The movie past tsunami. This is a shocking headline, and I feel like I have to spoil it. But first, let's hear it.
In 2019, more Americans went to the library than the movies.
Probably
yes,
because
really.
Of MoviePass.
Yeah, because yeah, Americans are getting better about going to the library. No, it's just the movies were that bad.
They will not actually let you read on a throne of books in the library. I've tried it. They throw you right out.
Dislike it when you're in the kids section doing that.
here's my thoughts about this. This was a phone survey, right? I think people were ashamed to say it's like, no, I don't read. So they're like, oh, the library. Yes. Yes, I go to the library.
Well,
constantly.
I don't know. It depends on what demographics, too. Because, like, if you're a college student, we went to the library all the time. Partly for school, but also because you can get movies if you have a library card and then just rent them. And it's a lot cheaper than actually going to a movie theater.
That's true. And I think a lot of people do use the library kind of like a movie rental these days.
Yeah.
So that could factor into it. But if it's true, I think it's mostly that. I don't think people are, like, going to the library and just browsing the books all day. But maybe. You know, I often think to myself, I should go to the library. But then I'm like, oh, I have to leave the house, and it's kind of a long drive. And
the one in my hometown was awful. It had a children's section, a Kentucky history section, and romance novels. And that was it. It was a very small library.
That's very telling.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
I don't know about
their,
the one here. The one here might be better. But
they know their clientele, right?
Yeah.
This is one of those ad blockers where, like, ooh, if you try to close it,
it's like, no, son.
It's like, no, we're just leaving this page. But
we'll just leave it up. It's
I want the picture because it's Crazy Eyes. Old Crazy Eyes has lived up to her appearance, and she is now representing herself in court.
Oh, no.
Theranos is Elizabeth Holmes. Stiff them, the lawyers say, and so they're not showing up to court. No, this is not the criminal case. This is the civil case in Arizona. So this is not the one case where she still has lawyers, presumably. This is just Arizona. But she showed up by phone, which is kind of weird, to say, hey, I guess I'm going to represent myself.
She couldn't afford the Uber to get down there.
Well, I'm just imagining, like, why are you on the phone? She's like, well, the sun was out, and I didn't want the sun people to see me. Something, like, just really bizarre.
So she's probably going to face restitutions from the criminal case.
Hundreds of millions of dollars, probably.
And now, if she loses this case as well, she's definitely going to be ruined.
Yeah.
Is she from a wealthy family?
She went to Stanford, but it might have been scholarship.
I don't know.
It's also kind of unusual for prosecutors to pursue both criminal and civil charges, but the criminal case could see her in jail for up to 20 years.
She is not ready for jail.
No.
That is not a woman built for jail. Did that movie ever come out?
I don't think so. Maybe.
A documentary about her?
Engagement Challenge.
Well, we talk a lot about the constant upgrade cycle, update cycle, I should call, for modern software. And more often than not, it's used not just to improve the software, but to introduce unwanted things down the road. Like we talked about those cameras.
Oh,
Wise?
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh, you know this thing that the cameras do? Well, they don't do that anymore because we sold it. Enjoy your update. And this is another one in that vein.
Ending support for macOS and Linux. No, Rocket League, no. This has sort of been a developing story for a couple of weeks, and I was hoping something more would shake out of it than this, but literally the Rocket League people are just saying, hey, macOS and Linux is too hard to support. We're not going to do this. I thought for sure that they were going to say Proton is so good now that you can just run the Windows version under Linux with Proton, and we'll support that going forward. Like, that would have been fine, but that's not what this is.
I'm wondering if it just took, like, a disproportionate amount of time for a game that is however many years old now.
But
like
why
four or
would
five.
It? I mean, are they trying to improve it graphically? Is that the issue?
Well, it's just that the Linux graphic stack is evolving kind of fast. So I could see that it's maybe a headache making sure that nothing is broken in that.
But why not give them a dialed-down graphical version that they can still play?
I mean, they're still changing the libraries and stuff. I mean,
or just let them play with each other.
If it weren't for Linus Torvalds, user space would have been broken in the kernel a whole bunch of different ways, and I don't think there's a Linus Torvalds that's keeping an eye on the graphic stack in the same way, because X kind of leaves a lot to be desired.
I thought X was going to give it to us.
Yeah, it's going to give you a bunch of bugs. I mean, it goes without
coronavirus,
saying.
Coronavirus, no!
No! Corona Chen!
Linux is not. Desktop Linux is not where you want to game, obviously. But I feel like there is a way they could have just like, hey, take this crappy version. You can only play with other people on the same version. And you're just in your own little universe now.
You're going to get so many angry comments.
Well, also, no offense, but that's kind of on brand for Linux, right? It's like, oh, we're in our own little exclusive bubble. I like this.
You know what? If you want to make an argument against that, just post the compatible games list. Prove me wrong.
Someone's going to do it.
I do actually think that...
And it's going to be the top comment.
You know, off the record, I do think that Rocket League under Proton ran better than natively.
I never had any issues with it, but we only played it on stream.
You never
mostly.
Played it on Linux, Krista.
Well, no, but I mean, like, it ran fine.
It was a very well-optimized game. It didn't take a lot of horsepower. That's why I'm saying, like, surely to God, there could be a version... That whatever your new plans are, just don't put them in that version and don't let those people play with the consoles and the Windows users.
Yeah, the Mac OS and Linux versions are going to continue to work offline for as long as they work.
But who plays Rocket League offline?
I'm just saying.
Remember how bad those bots were?
I think you can also do LAN play.
I thought some of the bots were good. Remember, we used to be like, oh no, they've got a bot on their team. Maybe it's just because we were really bad.
No, we were definitely really bad. But you could always tell the bots.
Yeah. Well, obvious. They had silly names.
So we kind of already talked about this, but it bears repeating because there's a story about it, and we have not yet seen what disruption is going to come from the Wu-Tang virus. It's going to be massive, and it's going to affect some companies more than others.
Coronavirus threatens iPhone 9 production and the entire electronics industry.
Not my profits.
No. So, yeah, Chinese New Year, going to be a little long this year, so, the iPhone 9 is going to have some supply chain problems.
Do you know that, this is only slightly related, but there's a law in China where if you have something like this happen and you can't do business, you have to pay your employees.
And the restaurants, China?
The restaurants are like, bro.
We don't have the margin for that.
That's 30% of our expenditure and we're not making any money. Something has to give here. So...
It's amazing that China has a law like that.
Well, they're communists. That makes total sense in communism. Mm. I know their communism is like a special flavor, or it's like dystopian communism, but still.
I don't know. I was really impressed with the whole hospital thing. Like, they put the hospital together. Hospital.
But it's a morgue. I agree. It's an amazing
feat.
It's
impressive.
But it's just a place to put corpses.
Seems like a hole in the... Just a big giant pit. Like a sarlacc
pit. Well, you have to wait. It's not actual... Like, they're not corpses yet. This is just temporary storage.
It can't look like a sarlacc pit. It has to look like a hospital.
It's like when I make a prison or a... hospital in my prison and prison architect, you know. There's a morgue attached to it, but you know, you don't let the prisoners see that. You put a staff door on it.
Yeah, you just put a big red cross on the door. Like, oh, this is a hospital. We talked about Amazon and Apple and Tesla all killed it in their earnings this earnings season. They're all rising high. But there was one notable exception, one of the fangs. There was one dirty rotten tooth in the fangs.
Facebook has closed down 6%, wiping out more than $30 billion in market value. You think Mark Zuckerberg had aspirations of being a, you know, $1 trillion company owner, and he's just looking around, it's like, man, Apple and Google and
I don't know
Microsoft
if he,
and Amazon, they're all ahead of me.
I don't know if he wants or needs like humans do.
the fan on his anger chip was like audibly loud in the room.
And all the other employees are like, what is that sound?
Like, so like one of his assistants quietly, like as quietly as possible, got up and adjusted the thermostat. And perhaps in response to that, now, of course, you mentioned in the other episode that Mark Zuckerberg has been going around talking all that crap about privacy and how Facebook cares and they're doing all this. They're going to improve that image. But when you lose $30 billion, maybe you change your tune a little bit. And he certainly has.
Mark Zuckerberg says Facebook's goal is no longer to be quote unquote liked. Oh no, this looks like another congressional hearing. Oh no, what's going on?
Initiate murder protocol.
He called up his wife and he's like, the time is now. Remove the emotion chip. It didn't work.
He can still feel anger.
I just can't simulate these humans. Now's the time to destroy them. But the privacy thing, you know, for a while, they were kind of trying to do that. And maybe the ultimate goal of that was to give us the power to not be tracked by them and to show us how they're doing it. And they've sort of kind of made an effort at that.
Facebook's new privacy tool lets you manage how you're tracked across the web. Mark Zuckerberg's long-promised Clear History button has finally launched globally. So if you want to be kept awake tonight thinking about all the horrible things, you can go check this out. And it's been tracking you across literally everything.
People have already criticized it for not going far enough. Although, what they claim here is that it does show you like all of the cookies that they're using in other websites.
And I had no idea Facebook could see me on Pornhub. What is this?
Yeah, and said, Ring doorbell. You think the Ring doorbell's in there?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
And so, presumably, you can also just turn it off.
Well, see, it's funny, though. It's the turning it off where it's like, we have noted that you've requested to be turned off, but all of the applications still have to know it's you in order for your preference to also... It's a catch-22. You can't just turn it off.
Well, it's like Google. You know, you can go in and turn off their tracking, too, and it's like...
But Google has to know who you are to know that you don't want to be tracked, which is still itself a form of tracking.
Well, and like
Google's
is like, we can only delete your history for like the last like 3 months or something like that. It's very weird. Oh my. This headline.
It is kind of true that once you're on Facebook, you can never leave. It's kind of like the Hotel California. But what if just one of your body parts is on Facebook and you're not the person who put it there?
This unofficial page was created because people on Facebook have shown interest in this place or business. The place or business, a woman's butthole.
Be specific, Samantha Ray Anna Jespersen's butthole. I like how she has two middle names and they use them.
Yeah, so who is this person?
Yeah.
So it's got a place marker.
Someone who uses that many names strikes me as someone who thinks they're important.
Well, you want to see a picture of her?
Well, this was done when she was a teenager. And so apparently it was like, haha, very funny, blah, blah, blah. But now she has a like a life coach business or something.
She's trying to like get jobs and stuff.
But she can't because her...
This is the number one result on her Google search for her name. And so she has tried to claim her butthole, and so far that hasn't worked for whatever reason, and Facebook will not get back to her about removing this page.
If you travel back in time, like even 5 years, this conversation would seem completely nonsensical.
It's nonsensical now.
Like you wouldn't have
context. So is she just leasing out her butthole currently? Like, does she just...
She has no control of her butthole.
Well, it's too bad she didn't use that... bug in Facebook from a couple of days ago to see who owned the page. Since she would know who to harass.
She should have watched this program. Both her and her butthole should have tuned in to solve this issue.
Can you imagine getting that call? It's like, hey, I see that you own this. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Oh, I did that like back in grade school. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's like some friend of hers from like, yeah.
I will take back my butthole if it kills me. Now, we've been talking about... the disinformation, right? The fight against disinformation. Elizabeth Warren wants disinformation about the election to be taken offline. She doesn't want it. She wants it to be censored completely.
Criminal,
and
in fact.
A lot of people, I think Twitter has now begun censoring information about the coronavirus.
Yeah.
That's a little disturbing. Although I can see how, like, you know...
People lose their minds.
Somebody posted, it was not a really great website, but it was like, you know, one of those templates for a like biotech website, and they were selling for Bitcoin, red flag, a vaccine for the coronavirus. Yeah, so that kind of makes sense, but when does it go too far? Well, add Pinterest to the list of censors.
Pinterest has banned misinformation about voting and the census, according to the Washington Post.
Do people go to Pinterest to learn about those things?
I don't,
because I usually just look for home crafts.
I don't even
Pinterest.
Know what constitutes misinformation.
Well, this is so it's apparently been a tactic for, you know, the Russian trolls or whoever to be like, don't forget that your polling station has moved to this location.
So people on Pinterest?
I don't know if it's on Pinterest, but apparently, yeah. They're saying that there are hashtags, and they're giving you, like, the wrong dates and stuff like that.
Elderly people, like, see it around here, and they're like, well, I guess I'm going to have to drive to New Jersey. That's where they moved their polling place to.
Got to have my voice heard. So
it did seem strange that it was in a neighboring state.
I think the pro tip here is don't use Pinterest for election information. They'll mail you a card.
Homecrafts, absolutely.
That card that they mail you is the final word. So, of course, now the people are going to start mailing cards.
Yeah.
Like those warranty cards. And finally, TikTok. TikTok is blowing up and it's taken over. Instagram wishes it were TikTok at this point. I bet Zuckerberg is like, why didn't we buy that? Whose fault is this? And then the emotion chip gets hot again. But the problem on TikTok is not that they're getting too few clicks, but the kind of content that some people are uploading.
TikTok has a ketamine problem.
If you don't know what ketamine is, it's a horse tranquilizer.
The video sharing social media platform has banned some drug hashtags, but content promoting ketamine has received millions of views.
Hashtag ket.
That's the Kentucky Educational Network.
Yes, it's KET. Where else am I going to get my documentaries about Daniel Boone?
Oh, no.
So there you go. That seems like a lot.
For a human, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big dose.
Ryan, have you taken ketamine?
I'm not taking ketamine, no. Actually, I don't know how much you're supposed to take, but I imagine. I mean, that's a nose full right there, don't you think?
Do you inhale ketamine?
Yeah, or I think you snort it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
It's a blood-brain thing, right? So you could probably do whatever.
You know, I didn't cover this in my high school DARE program.
Yeah, this was never a drug that was talked about when we were kids.
Is it a rich person's drug? I bet it's a rich person's. Nah, I wonder if it's a status thing. Like,
so when you,
I got this sweet KET.
When
Kentucky
you
Educational Network.
I'm going to watch the Yankee Workshop.
I am the new Yankee Workshop.
So the ketamine apparently puts you in what they call a K-hole, which is where you are just like, you're not responding to the world around you.
That's what I call my basement.
Because it's a horse tranquilizer. That's hilarious. Because your name starts with a K.
It's a joke.
Let's go down to the K-hole. Isn't that where Rue sleeps?
That is where Rue hangs out in the basement most of the time, yeah. She was up on the couch with us this afternoon. We took a family nap after church. It's very wholesome.
But anyway, it seems to be super popular to get somebody in that state and film them and have a good laugh about it.
Wow. Cool. If you want to be hip with the kids,
no.
Hit that K-E-T.
If you want to be hip with the kids and Norm Avery,
hit that K-hole.
Nobody's going to know what we're talking about.
Norm got promoted to this old house. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's out of the workshop.
Yeah.
They took off his ankle chain.
There's a few people from Kentucky who will probably know the K-E-T. Just to watch it.
All right. What do we got for Friday?
Everything that's left. Robots, design, and nonsense.
Oh, and also, the 64-core Threadripper CPU is also launching Friday. Probably have a live stream planned for that.
Krista, say bye.
Bye.